Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And now, this is the moment you've all been waiting for. We are live on the Charity Stripe Podcast with your hosts, Alex, Josh, and Nick.
We're back, babies. Charity Stripe, it's free throws because they're free. Fisher DeSopos, DJ, Nikki, Snacks, Kreider, another mock draft. That's how we start our weeks off, coming to you guys. We have a special guest, soon to be a new father. He's a Believe host, a fellow Believe host. So first off, congratulations to you and your future family. Fellow Believe host, Patrick Chiotti, joining us of the Let's Ride podcast. He does it with Chris Harris Jr., another friend of the show. It's an excellent listen. Patrick, welcome. How are you doing today?
Dude, I'm doing great. You know, it's mock draft season, baby. Combine week. It's time. I'm super excited for this because we get to see all the hot takes. We get to see all the great picks in this first round. It's going to be amazing. Draft season is always the best time of the year. It's like Christmas every single day. And the great thing about mock drafts is you get to do as many as you want, and it doesn't even matter in the end.
Yep.
So
because it'll never ever go exactly as you mock it. If it's impossible. I think
you have a better chance at picking a perfect first round or March Madness draft or perfect March Madness bracket.
Dude, I think the probability is probably March Madness bracket at this point. I mean, how many have we had of those in the last like 10 years, and how many perfect first round mocks are there? I think the likelihood of a perfect bracket is probably higher at this point.
Yeah. It's because of the trades. Like, you can't account for the trades. Like, there's so many variables of players, and there's so many variables of trades that it's almost endless at a certain point. Whereas, like, you could get hot in March Madness and at least get your way to the Sweet 16 and see what happens. Like, there's no way you're getting through the first 20 picks in a mock draft. Correct.
No. I think what we just proved there is that none of us were math majors clearly in college, because we'd probably know the answer really quickly. Like, something tells me that the amount of games that there are in college basketball makes the point somewhat null, right? Because probability has to do with as many chances, right? So I don't know. But the trade aspect is you can't quantify that.
Well, the trade aspect, but also how many people are in the draft as well. You only have 64 teams opposed to having hundreds of players in the draft.
Oh, there's multiple variables.
You got to pick 32. Like, that's tough.
Like, there could have been someone that first. Exactly. There could have been someone that had a perfect mock draft, and then Bill Belichick came in a couple years ago and go, "All right, hold my beer. Here's Cole Strange." Like, you're just like, "All right, like, well, there it goes." Like, there's busted. Nothing you could account for. Yeah, last year, ridiculous. Jahmyr Gibbs trade up, trade back. It's all over the place. All right, so for those listening for the first time, here's how we do it. And those returning, this is, you know, how we do it. So just use a friendly reminder of the rules. We'll go in a snake order. Nick will start us off, followed by Toss, followed by our guest, Mr. Chiotti. He'll be picking third so he can get to his Denver Broncos that he covers, 12th overall. I'll go fourth. And then we'll rotate like that. It's on PFF Mock Draft Simulator. We can do trades. You don't have to negotiate with the other person picking in that slot. if you're picking and you want to make a trade, we all have to deal with it. And then we'll deal with the repercussions afterwards based on what we're picking. Anything could happen. Roll the dice. If it's too hot for somebody, call it out and say it. Pat, we'll kick to you at certain points other than the Broncos, maybe in the AFC West team, like the Raiders, the Chiefs, and the Chargers. All right, Toss, I love this little layout you made, but I'm going to brush it to the side if that's okay with you. I'm going to set the remove this and then share my screen once more for those viewing on YouTube. There we go, lads. Okay, Nikki Snacks, you're up first in the mock draft simulator. Let me zoom it in a little more.
Sweet. Yeah, I wonder what the Bears do here. Caleb, clearly Caleb. And then whoever wants Justin Fields can have Justin Fields.
Is there a team you want to move Justin Fields to influence the draft?
No, if there's a team that wants to trade for Justin Fields, they can.
Okay. So you're putting the onus onto somebody else.
Yep.
Cool. All right, Toss.
So I don't think it's going to influence the first round. Right?
It could. It could. I mean, if somebody...
Fields is going for a first?
I don't think
No. He's not going for a first, but if somebody like, let's say the Raiders trade for him, that they're not going to draft the QB in that sense.
That's true.
Sure.
That's how it went. Sure. All right, Toss, you're up too with the Manders.
Yeah. So I at least know that I'm not trading for Justin Fields at the number two spot. So we can continue on with the draft at this point. I'm enticed with the two quarterbacks that are on the board here. I've seen in a lot of mocks in the last couple of days, a lot of Jaden Daniels hype at that number two spot overall. But I'm going to stay pat with it. That's my,
oh, there we go.
Dropping it early. Okay. I'll take Drake May, quarterback out of North Carolina for the Washington Commanders.
I dig that.
Nice. Pat, you're up. Pat's my pass at number three.
Oh boy. Okay. Lots to think about here, honestly, because I've seen so much about New England trading down. I've seen them taking a quarterback. I've seen all of the what ifs that can happen. Justin Fields trade, maybe. But for the sake of this draft, we're going to clear out the smoke and they're going to take Jaden Daniels third overall. It's a hot take, man. It's a really hot take. Will they, won't they? Maybe they trade down. Minnesota's looking for a quarterback, but man, Mac Jones is probably not the answer there. And so get a guy who's fresh, new coaching staff, bring him in, use his athleticism, and then surround him with more talent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's clear to say that Mac Jones is definitely not the answer.
Yeah, God.
Not the guy. Bailey Zappi, thanks for playing. I think going with the reigning Heisman winner, who's almost a do-it-all quarterback. I'm with you, Toss. I'm seeing a lot of mocks and I'm seeing a lot of hype with him at number two. So if you're a Patriots fan, you can't be disappointed with seeing Jaden Daniels out of LSU at three. Had Patrick not gone with Jaden Daniels and gone with Marvin Harrison Jr., which is another viable option, we're also seeing the smoke of Malik Nabers jumping Marvin Harrison Jr., which would be pretty crazy. I would then move Monty Austin Fort, the GM of the Cardinals, loves moving around. We saw it last year, a pretty famous video of him shaking around the draft from that three spot. I would have probably moved from the number four back with the Falcons, who would have moved up to get Jaden Daniels. That's not the case. I'm sitting here at four. Can't pass up on Larry Fitzgerald Jr. for them. Marvin Harrison Jr. Ooh. Going to the Cards. Not necessarily in how they play, but like the same vibe. Top five selection of a wide receiver for the Cards. Nikki Snacks, we'll go to you. We'll give you the Chargers. They're your team.
Getting on the phone here. Trade with Tennessee. Nice. 5 for 7.
Ooh.
So whoever has Tennessee, make your pick.
I think
that's Pat.
Oh man. Okay. We're trading up for this. We're gonna go ahead and take Joe Alt. Out of Notre Dame. I think there's a lot of holes on the Tennessee team. Derrick Henry's gone. They're clearly restarting. You can't miss with a left tackle. It's going to be your left tackle for like the next 10 years. So get Joe Alt. You've got Alt. You've got Skoronski on the left side. Fix it from there. But you got to start with the O-line, man. So Alt's got to be the guy.
That's not how I envisioned it was going to go down.
You thought he was going to go get Bowers. Now at seven, you have your Chargers there.
No, not Bowers.
Who do you think he was going to take with the Titans Neighbors? Pick?
I thought he would take Malik Neighbors. Because I feel like Tennessee, I feel like teams are looking to jump in there where the Chargers and the Giants could have taken Malik Neighbors, because you're saying that there's rumblings that he could jump Marvin Harrison, so to lock in that.
Yeah.
But I think the Chargers have options.
I think, too, with the Chargers, like, potentially trading down and wanting to collect more picks, that's definitely something that can see. But, like, you could also make that case Tennessee taking Malik Neighbors to jump New York.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. And I think there was something really interesting that I heard Scott Pioli say on the Believe Chargers show, is that the Believe in Chargers with Matt Money Smith and Lorenzo Neal, was that, you know, maybe Joe Alt is the number one graded prospect tackle wise in this draft, but he might not be the right guy for the Chargers and the scheme offense that they want to run. You know, you never know. Mm-hmm. So if they like Fashanu or one of the other guys better, moving back a couple of picks, even if it's just one, right? Like, when it comes down to draft day and they get more draft capital, it's well worth it for a Chargers team that is way, way, way over the cap. So
yeah. They're going to need to fill needs, not in free agency. They're going to try to draft as many players as possible and try to do what Detroit did last season and hit on their draft picks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Completely agree. Okay. So I am up right with the Giants at six.
Yep.
You are.
I will take the aforementioned Malik Neighbors. We're going to bring an LSU receiver back to New York. Hopefully he is the reincarnation of Odell Beckham Jr. pre-injury. And he gives Daniel Jones one last shot at having a true quote-unquote wide receiver one on their team. And, you know, you trust that Evan Neal can slot in at right tackle and be productive there, even though I know that there's a lot of question marks around him, but you've got a strong left tackle and you see what you have with that offense. But that's a risky pick, right? If I'm Dable and I'm Shane, especially if I'm Brian Dable and I'm a bit on the hot seat here, because it's New York sports, it's New York football Giants. Like, you better win quick. It's a bit dicey of a pick, but I like Neighbors. I think he's incredibly talented.
Nice. Nick, back to you with your Chargers.
Now, I'm tempted here because I imagined the way that it would have shaken out that we would have been able to get Joe Alt, but now it's not possible.
There's still options.
And I know that Fashanu is another option, but I think I'm going to play it safe and go with the wide receiver, Roman Dunze. You know, they did draft a wide receiver last year, and I know it's a head-scratcher, but there's a lot of rumblings that they're cutting Mike Williams, you know, coming off the ACL tear. And, of course, he's due a lot of money this year. Big cap hit, so to take that off your books is big. Keenan Allen's getting a little bit older, and I really like them building off what they've got with Josh Palmer and Keenan Allen, and then trying to get the young guy in there, and then maybe if they get lucky, QJ figures it out, and they've got a four-horse monster.
Mm,
yeah.
Four-headed monster.
The old four horsemen.
That's a solid pick. I mean, so many holes on that roster as well. I'm sure Harbaugh is going to be bringing in a completely different look, but you can't go wrong. They need talent at the pass catcher positions, whether it's tight end, wide receiver, or running back.
And
Odunze, by Mike Williams. Thanks. Odunze is going to be healthy. He's going to be a baller day one. Yep. Love the pick.
100%.
Mm-hmm. Really nice one. I'm up with the Falcons. I did, as Toss alluded to at the beginning of the show, we are not math majors, and I had a 50-50 ball with Patrick where he could have ended up with the Broncos. So just so a heads up, when it comes back around, I'll take the Vikings pick. Patrick, you jump into the Broncos pick, and then we'll restart with Nick with the Raiders over there. Again, he's not good at math. Okay, so I'm up with the Falcons. They have a new regime, Raheem Morris coming in, defensive-minded guy. I believe they're going to go, whether it be Russell Wilson, whether it be Kirk Cousins, whether they trade back in at the end of the first round for a Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr. I don't think they go and reach for J.J. McCarthy right here, who also has rumblings of jumping into the top 10, top 15 of the first round. I think they go play it safe with the safest edge here. With Verse is good, Latu's good, but Dallas Turner from Alabama to me is the safest edge, and I think that's who Atlanta goes with at the 10th spot.
You had the chance to do something really crazy that every I mean, if you were to double to... like we do it in fantasy all the time, the double, the double stack of the tight ends with Kyle Pitts and Brock.
I thought about it. Just, I mean, Arthur Smith would have done it. You know, Arthur Smith would have been like, ah, Brock. He would have ran to the podium with Brock. Well,
a little tight end jet sweep, maybe.
Oh, yeah, man. He would. Yeah, Gronk Hernandez 2.0, but the good version where no one dies. Okay, Nick, you're back up with the Bears.
Yeah, I think this model kind of worked last year for the Texans, taking a guy on each side of the ball early in the top 10 in the draft with going CJ Stroud and then going with Will Anderson. So I'm going to do something very similar with Caleb Williams, and then I'm going to take Jared Verse.
Nice.
Maybe an undervalued guy out of Florida State. Florida State obviously not getting enough love this season. A guy who's probably maybe a bit better than that 16th slot we're seeing over here at PFF. T-Dot, you have the infamous New York Football Jets at 10.
Look, we were just talking about the tight end stack, and this team won't have the tight end stack, but I am going to give them Brock Bowers, and maybe it's a little bit early for him, depending on how you're looking at this, but pairing him with Aaron Rodgers, we don't know how much longer the guy's going to play for. He's coming back from a major injury. Give him as many security blankets as possible. Give him a guy who can block for Breece Hall, and obviously block on the outside if there's some edge rushers going against, you know, that Jets shaky offensive line. Interior linemen, obviously they could trade back here, but tight end position, pass catcher, and a blocker. So you're still getting some of that pass protection for Aaron Rodgers, which I like.
Nice. Okay, I'm going to recap the top 10 before I jump in for the Vikings pick, and then we continue on. Williams out of USC, first overall to the Bears. Drake May to the Commanders. Jaden Daniels, three QBs in a row to the New England Patriots, third overall. Marvin Harrison Jr. goes to the Arizona Cardinals. Really interesting stuff. He's not hiring an agent. Won't test the combine. That the latter part, not too surprising. The no agent is pretty ballsy, but I guess his father is also Marvin Harrison. Nick makes a deal, moves back with the Chargers to 7. The Titans jump up at 5, take Joe Alt at a Notre Dame tackle. Malik Nabers, wide receiver, LSU to the G-men at 6. The Chargers now at 7, take Roman Dunze from Washington, excellent receiver who dominated our Texas Longhorns. Edges go back to back. Atlanta takes Dallas Turner from Bama. FSU nabs Jared Verse. And then, the Bears nab Jared Verse out of FSU. And then Brock Bowers, Georgia Bulldogs, 10th overall to the New York Football Jets. Really interesting situation for the Vikings. It depends what you think will happen with them. I think Kirk O'Chains is going to go to Atlanta. I think it's time for them to go get a new quarterback. I don't know what Patrick was planning on doing with the Broncos. I hope this doesn't mess things up too badly, but I think this is where JJ McCarthy, national champion, goes in Minnesota, 11th overall.
Great. Fantastic.
Love it. Everything you wanted and more.
Hey, good thing it's a mock draft and you're not like in the war room.
Fantastic. They took our quarterback.
Yeah. I think I like that pick. I think it's I think it's one that is a necessity, you know. If they've been trying to get a different guy under center for the last 2 years, apparently. Trying to trade up for Anthony Richardson last year and then saying, you know, they're not going to give Kirk a guaranteed contract. I think the writing's on the wall, man. And if they don't move up, I was expecting the trade up into the fifth spot, in all honesty, from either Atlanta or Minnesota. So him getting to 11, shocking to me.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah.
You think he's a top five pick?
I think he's a top five pick in the sense of teams are going to panic.
Right.
Teams are going to feel the pressure. What's going to happen? Who's going to trade up? We got to go get our guy. If next year's class is half as good as this one's, we're going to have to go up and get a guy.
And it's interesting, and no offense to Broncos country here, but the Vikings, the Broncos, the Raiders, and the Saints, they're like all teams. The Saints, I shouldn't include the Saints there because they do a good job of drafting typically. But those three teams, like, they're hungry for wins. They're hungry for playoff wins. They're in the right position where they won't have to give up the entire farm to get up there, but they're still going to have to give up a lot of draft capital, and they might do it. And then, you know, those teams that stand pat and they wait in that 15 to 22 spot and even further down, they're just licking their chops because these incredibly graded prospects who aren't quarterbacks just keep falling down the board, and you just pick up the quote-unquote scraps that actually end up in you know, all pro bowl type players. So
yeah, I think you're right in the sense that all four of these teams are very similar. You look at the number one need for all four of these right here, it's QB.
Right.
They all have really passionate fan bases and they've got really good pieces on both sides of the ball. And I feel like they're a few pieces away from putting it together. I mean, the Raiders sometimes find a way to sabotage themselves off the field and just within, you know, the Raiders fashion. But at the end of the day, like, yes, I believe that these teams are like right at the doorstep. I mean, Minnesota's been at the top of that division for the last few years. You know, we thought that things were looking up with the Broncos when they brought in Russ and Sean Payton. And then we've definitely heard some flashes of greatness from the Raiders when, you know, Pierce came in, and then you got the Saints, you know? So at the end of the day, I think that they're all in a very similar position and this draft could look a lot differently. And I doubt that these four teams pick in this order, honestly.
Yeah.
I like the last thing you said. I think it's pretty wise. I don't know. I would be shocked and with you if all four of these teams are 11 through 14 here. I think they're all a bit, if we're just talking about these four squads before we let you go, Patrick, get the draft going. I think they're all in a bit of different places. Like the Broncos and the Raiders, you know, they at least have a couple guys in the roster, in my opinion, at least defensive stars. Like PS2 is a defensive star. Max Crosby is a defensive star. I think the Saints are aging in weird ways. I don't know if Carr was the right move. I don't know if they have the right head coach. So that worries me a little bit. And then I think on the Vikings situation, like things can go either way for them. If they get younger with JJ McCarthy and they spend the money the right way and they keep Danielle Hunter and they get other pieces in free agency and they let Kirk walk and save that cash, they do have the right head coach. They have it at the top of the division, like you're saying. So they could be back, but things can I think things for the Vikings and Saints could ironically sway a lot more than the Broncos and the Raiders, who currently maybe seem in a bit more turmoil. That's my two cents
Could the Vikings move into the top three if they trade JJ?
Sure.
I don't think they trade Jettas. I don't think they do that.
I mean, I've been seeing rumors all offseason long that he's on the trade market.
I think it would depend on what their plan is to do at quarterback. If they're like, hey, we're going to draft a quarterback in this class, or we're going to bring back Kirk, I think he stays. But if their plan is like, we'll just wait and see, you know, we'll see how the board falls. I could see him demanding a trade, but I don't think that's at the top of their priority list. Or do you want to pay him?
Right.
That's the other thing. Do you want to pay the guy? Maybe.
They're just in a tricky, like Hawkins. Yeah, you got to pay him. But Hawkinson,
you got to pay him.
Wearing the ACL is such a tricky, they're just like in such a tricky spot in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
It's a really interesting franchise. All right. Without further ado, the Broncos
vamped.
Man.
Yeah,
himself.
We vamped right there. Patrick, you better make the right pick here, dude. We gave you some time.
Well, here's the thing, because the Broncos aren't going to be making this pick, because as soon as JJ McCarthy went off the board, Sean Payton threw his clipboard into the wall, shattered all over the place, and he's currently swearing up and down at Russell Wilson. We're trading back with Cincinnati. Cincinnati now has the 12th pick.
Cool. All right. I don't know who, Patrick, we'll let you make both picks since you did it.
Deal.
How about
Deal.
That?
So here's the How thing. About that? Cincinnati, Brock Bowers off the board. That probably would have been an awesome pick for them. But this is going to be my little hot pick for this draft. We're going to go with Taliese Fuaga, the tackle from Oregon State, going to Cincinnati. Offensive line has been a constant issue. They got a little bit better this last season, but I think this is a guy that can come in. He's young. He's nasty. You can play him inside. You can play him outside. You could play him on the left side or the right side. Fashanu is probably the popular pick here, but man, Fuaga's been catching a lot of steam lately, and he is just nasty in the run game. And in the AFC North, you got to have the nasty run game. So Fuaga is going to go to the Bengals.
Nice. Like it a lot. Nick, you're back up with the Raiders at 13.
Yeah, I think the Raiders kind of in somewhat of a way panic as well and just take Bo Nix.
Thank you.
You know, I think that they're not the best at drafting, and this could be boomer bust. This could be one of the things we're looking at it and we're saying, oh, here's another situation where, you know, a guy took Brock Osweiler too earlier, Tim Tebow too earlier, you know, EJ Manuel too early. And this could be the case. I'm still not bought in and sold on Bo Nix. I mean, he played great at Oregon, but people still don't forget that he like was pretty mid at Auburn. So
yeah, he
very mid at Auburn.
He got better. I think part of it, you know, growth as a person, growth as a player, completely different completely different offensive schemes. But as a Duck fan myself, when Bo Nix signed with Oregon, I swore to myself that if he did, I would cry tears for about a year straight. And I did. And you know what? I came away pleasantly surprised. I think Bo did a lot of growing in his two seasons at Oregon. But man, like, this would be such a Raiders pick, especially here.
100%.
It's also, I didn't know you were going with those tears.
It's hard to fail. Well, you know, there was another thing I was going to say, but that probably wouldn't be very friendly. So
it's really hard to fail at Oregon, in my opinion, as a quarterback. I mean, that's why you see Dylan Gabriel going there. And is it Dante Ward, right, from UCLA? Or what's his name?
Dante Moore. He was originally a Duck commit and then decommitted, went to UCLA, and now he's back. So
right, and planning to sit behind Dylan Gabriel for a year, basically. So we'll, I mean, I think Dylan's starting.
Well, yeah, Dylan's gonna start. How long he's gonna be the starter is the question.
True,
he's a good quarterback, man.
Regardless, yeah, I feel like those guys know that, like, they make quarterbacks look really good.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I'd agree
that they do. I think it's a hilarious preface of the Raiders pick bad. So here's Bo Nix, though. Toss, you're up with the Saints.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you can see the needs right there. I thought about this wouldn't be getting cute, but, you know, bringing a guy that before his injuries was mocked as a top seven player in this draft in regards to prospect rankings with Latu from UCLA as an edge rusher to be kind of like the new face of their defense going forward would be interesting. And maybe I'll do it. Oh, did you just take that for that? Okay, that's what they're doing.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were seemed like you were doing that. I liked the pick. I was jazzed about it, but I thought
it's not who I was. It's not who I was going to take, but it was one of my options who I considered. And sometimes you're talking too long on the phone to the commissioner and he doesn't hear you right. And you get Latu instead of the guy that you wanted to take. And that's the way
who are you gonna take?
Doesn't
matter. Don't say it now.
I think the Colts are in an interesting position. They kind of obviously want to build around AR. They have Downs, they have Pittman Jr., who I think they could tag, sign as a free agent. The offensive line is decent. I think Nate Wiggins is the best corner in this draft, and I think they try to bolster this defense over here. CJ Stroud's over there, obviously, in the division. Trevor Lawrence, Will Levis, a lot of good young quarterbacks. So they go with a young cornerback in Mr. Nate Wiggins and help the defensive backfield. Water Falcons, you're out, Patrick.
Oh, man. well, new DC, or sorry, new head coach in Seattle for the first time in God knows how long. Look, this is going to be an interesting transition for this team. I think defensively, Mike McDonald's going to do a lot of things differently, and a lot of these players aren't going to match the scheme. And this is going to be a tough one. We're going to give them Byron Murphy from Texas. I think they got Draymond Jones last year, but a couple of those guys on that interior are aging out. You bring in some fresh blood. This guy's going to be a freak at the combine. Can't wait to watch him. I think he's going to be a massive upgrade in the middle.
Yeah. Well,
and you don't have to sign Leonard Williams, right? You can let him walk.
Boom.
If you want and spend that money there. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good, really good point. And we're all Longhorns, so you're not going to get any argument over here from us. I'm up with the Jags. Not a sexy pick, but a pick of need nonetheless. Jackson Powers Johnson, your guy out of Oregon, Patrick, center. You got to help protect Trevor Lawrence, the future, the long haired. Sorry, dude. I don't know. I'm just playing the game. Is that who you're going with to the Broncos?
every pick. It's fine.
I'm not trying to cuck you, dude. I didn't think you were going there. My bad. But that's who I think the Jags take. A little cucking season for our guest of the show. You're back up, though, dude. The 18th pick. Go Broncos.
Oh, okay. So this is kind of a dream scenario, honestly, for Denver. You know, you trade down. You don't get your quarterback. Garrett Bowles is in the last year of his contract. To be honest, he's not really well liked in the locker room. He's got a lot of trade value right now, so I could see them kind of, you know, trying to get as much as they can out of him. Center was also a position of need. Jackson Power Johnson was the guy that we were targeting there, but because we're going to be trading Garrett Bowles and we need a fresh left tackle, boy howdy, Olu Fashanu from Penn State, come on down. You are the newest Denver Broncos left tackle.
Yeah, love to see. I think the last time they had a tackle in this position was like Ryan Clady or something, right?
Yeah, Ryan Clady. Man. And I think he was drafted in a very similar draft slot, if I'm not mistaken. So
I think he was like an 18th, yeah.
Yeah. So Sean Payton, very good historical offensive line drafter. Trade down, get one of the better offensive linemen in this class at the 18th slot. I'll take that.
Nice. Nick, you're back up. We'll go to you, man. The Rams.
Yeah, I think if Fashanu was there, I would have taken him, fallen this deep, but this makes me want to trade again. So I'm going to trade this pick to the Packers, who are at 25.
Okay.
Boom, Nick. Do you want to make that pick too?
You're going to make that pick, man.
They're going to go with Quinyon Mitchell, the cornerback out of Toledo. They could have taken Cooper DeJean here, but I feel like people are really high on him. I mean, he's a really good prospect, but I think we all know why everyone's really high on him. Not going to say it. Do I need to say it?
He's well.
Come on.
He's not going to be there this week, right? Isn't that true? He's not an Indy.
He's interviewing, but he's not testing.
So that correct. I mean, feasibly, yeah, that could knock him down a peg or two.
But I feel like Mitchell, you know, is a guy that I think isn't getting enough love just because he goes to a smaller school and he's going to test out of the roof. He already has been in his pro days and everything like that. I think his athleticism is there. And, you know, the Packers have always built their organizations on their secondary, and they're just going to continue to do that.
And I don't know if – are they bringing back Jair Alexander? Is that for sure?
I hope they are. I hope they are, because that coin toss thing was epic.
Oh, my God.
He got suspended for a game because he's like, damn, he just elected himself as the captain and messed up the coin toss. That was like Lil O'Keefe's funniest moment of the season. So hilarious. Toss your Steelers.
Yeah. I don't know about you guys, but I think that any of the top five corners in this draft, if they're not going in the top seven, to me, I'm going to be hard pressed to not say it's a good pick, because they're so talented. And I'm locked in on all three of them right now for the Steelers, but I'm going to go with, I'm going to pass on DeJean again, and I'm going to take Terrion Arnold, who in the Crimson Tide backfield has shown the most progression. And I think if you put him in that Steelers system, he can really become a star and flourish. So I'm excited about that pick.
Great pick. Great pick.
It's a good pick. You're up, Patrick, with the dot with the fins.
Ooh. Okay. So Dolphins are cutting a lot of people here. So it kind of makes it tough for me to decide. And then with all the trade rumors of Jalen Waddle, which I don't think that's necessarily going to happen, but the one thing remains true. They need offensive line so bad, so, so bad. And here's where we're going to go. This guy can play either tackle. He can play guard. He could even play center for you. And the biggest part, he already blocked for a left-handed quarterback. Do you know where we're going here? Troy Fautanu from Washington. You're a Miami Dolphin. They can slide him in at guard. They can slide him in at tackle. But they need to protect Tua a little bit more, and he's going to be better in that run game. I think it's going to be a really, really good pick for them. Was going back and forth between Latham, Mims, and Fautanu, but I think that Fautanu at the end of the day probably fits a little bit more what they can do, especially with the lefty under center.
Yeah. I think it's a really interesting position for the Eagles. We all know they need defensive backfield help desperately. So I'm probably going to go Cooper DeJean here, but I do think JC Latham's a really interesting pick with the age of Lane Johnson getting up there, and you could bring him in as your swing tackle right now, let him groom and grow. And I'm talking myself into it, so I actually think I'm going to balk at what I initially said and go with JC Latham for the Eagles.
It's a good thing you're also Goodell, because I would have just locked in DeJean.
You would have locked me in. I literally had that. I was like, good thing I have, like, the puppet strings.
No Georgia player here?
No Georgia. I know, player. Right? I mean, Marius Mims is there. You could go with him. But I want to comment on your last pick. I think that's a pick that we had in our last mock. It just seems like a perfect marriage. He was great at Washington. The Washington offensive line was, we saw it firsthand with our Texas Longhorns. Washington offensive line was fantastic. So I think that was a real, I just wanted to compliment that pick right there. All right, JC Latham, Eagles.
Love it.
Okay, Nick, you're up with the Zans.
Yeah, I think this team, you know, they're on the up. They really surprised everyone last year. But I think they want to continue to add weapons for CJ Stroud here. And Tank Dell going down, you know, definitely hurt them a little bit. And they still want to probably ease him into coming back into the fold. Got some options here, but I'm going to go with Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU. Big body receiver, very similar to Nico Collins on the other side. And I think, you know, it complements that offense pretty well with Tank Dell in the slot.
Man.
Yeah.
Great pick. I was thinking Newton here, but that's a good pick.
Yeah, Newton could be interesting too, just because, you know, D'Amico Ryans is a defensive-minded head coach. But I think with Stroud, it's like you just got to capitalize on him being young and keep that that core super young and
beat him
fast and lethal.
Yeah, agree. Yeah. I think it's a great pick.
Also takes less pressure, takes pressure off of Tank Dell, you know, who's a smaller bodied receiver. And we saw it was a freak injury, but we saw how fragile he can be, unfortunately. And so Nico Collins and Brian Thomas Jr. and you move Tank Dell to the slot. I think you're playing with fire. CJ Stroud could definitely handle that kind of octane in his offense. And it's definitely something they need. Toss your Cowboys.
Yeah. Cooper's just kind of he's staring us right in
Jerry
the face.
Loves Cooper.
Jed.
Jerry's like, that's my boy.
Look, we got one. Well, Cooper will be available for the Rams. I am not taking him. I honestly kind of want to trade back here.
Do it, bro.
Where to?
I'm just eyeing who I would trade back with. So who would be the next team that I would be picking for?
Whoever you trade with. Whoever you trade with. Could be with Buffalo if you want Buffalo to move up.
Yeah. What am I getting? Getting as the Cowboys in that spot?
I don't know.
That's Buffalo's it. Just a swap.
Could see Arizona.
Well, we're just doing a swap here. Yeah. We're not doing like the whole shebang. Hypothetically, though, this is a situation where like the Cowboys can move back. The Bills can move up, and Stephon Diggs could be in play here with more picks going to Buffalo.
Yeah, there could also be teams moving in from the early second round too.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, let's go ahead and do the trade.
With the Billies.
With the Billies, yeah. With the Billy Goat Gruffs. And the Buffalo Bills will be taking. I imagine this guy's also another favorite of Patrick, give us your last name so we don't keep
Coyote.
I feel like we're still
Yaddy Coyote. Yeah,
Coyote. I'm gonna take Troy Franklin from Oregon as a second receiver. Let's say that the Bills are keeping Stephon Diggs and bringing in another weapon for Josh Allen to have at his disposal on the offensive side.
Love.
And letting Gavriel Davis
wide well. Receivers.
Yeah. Okay, you're up with the Rams, Coyote.
Okay. Yeah. Coop would probably be the pick here, but
Cooper DeGene, dude. That's a great meme.
Oh man. Corners definitely an area of need, but I think Amarius Mims is staring me right in the face, and I would be remiss if I did not take Amarius Mims if I was the Los Angeles Rams, because
knitting person looking at you.
They did fine this year, but like, man, you get a guy who's fresh, who's still young, who's got a lot of growth to do. He's already fun. 800 snaps. I'll take that. So
Rams. You just passed on the opportunity for every single snap at SoFi Stadium, the crowd to go Coop, because they could do it on offense when Cooper Kupp's running routes. They could do it on defense when Cooper DeGene lining up at corner. I'm just saying.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Bucks. They need a corner.
Is it
there's a couple of corners staring them in the face. Now, had they not gone Kalijah Kancey last year, this is Jerzon Newton would have jumped off the board. So yeah. I don't think they're picking themselves because he's a very talented player, but I think this is one of the guys. These three guys are dropping in our draft, which is pretty reasonable. I think they get help. I do think they get some help, though. Graham Barton's another guy that could kind of play across the offensive line in Tampa
and
Bay.
And they do need a center.
But they need some offensive line help. So I think that's where they go, Graham Barton. I feel like the last couple of years they've had guys getting hurt, retiring. It's just been kind of like a turnstile in the interior of the offensive line for the Buccaneers. It's not the sexiest of picks, but that's where they head. The Cards, Nick, you're back up, man.
All right, the Cardinals, they're going to do it here. They're going to take Cooper DeJean. They do need a corner. At the end of the day, like, this is a division that has a lot of talented receivers, and you got to play defense. You know, Puka Nacua came out of nowhere and, you know, turned a lot of people's heads, and I feel like defensive back is going to be a premium in that division. Not just him, but Cooper Kupp, and Cooper against Cooper is going to be an interesting matchup twice a year.
See?
That it will
there
be.
There you go.
Cool. Be strong. Toss, you're up at 28.
I will take, man, it's really hard just to be looking at Newton at the top of this board right now and not select him. But I think, you know, what Armstrong was able to do in the middle, and you're hoping that Mazi Smith can develop into something, right? You just drafted an interior defensive lineman last year. I don't have high hopes, but you can't not have that thought process. So I'm going to pass on Newton. I'm going to take, we're going to bring another Nittany Lion into the Dallas Cowboys defense. I'm going to take Chop Robinson, and we're going to have him as an edge opposite of Micah, but who can also line up as the linebacker position, which we are in dire need of. And just some support there, I think, would be huge for the Dallas Cowboys defense.
Wow. Nice. I like it a lot. Patrick, you're up with the Leones.
Well, since Newton has fallen this far, it only seems right. Illinois has been churning out some really, really great defensive guys these last couple seasons. And Newton would be a great fit for Dan Campbell in that defense. I think you can play him all sorts of alignments across the front. And they need a guy that can be electric up front. Aiden Hutchinson is great, but Let's get some more finishes. Let's get some more sacks. I think Newton can be that dude. Pencil him in for the Lions.
No, we're penning him in, dude. He's locked in. He seems like a Campbell guy on the interior. D-Jack Hobbs locked in for 20 million rupees. I got the Ravens. Nick said it. Mock drafters love wide receivers, and we love our Texas Longhorns. Duvernay might be on his way out, but we bring another Longhorn in with A.D. Mitchell. I think they got Odell Beckham Jr.'s days are numbered in Baltimore, unfortunately. And I think they get a guy across from Zay Flowers, and he's a completely different type of receiver. Big body guy, great jump ball in the red zone. So they get our boy AD at the 30th spot. Steal alert. Back to the top. Snacks, the Niners, Toss, the Chefs. We'll do a quick recap of the second half of the draft. And then, Patrick, you'll close us out with your two NFL offseason hot takes.
Can I just see the board a little bit here?
Of course, man. Yeah, Kool-Aid.
Yeah, more specifically, O-line, please.
Got you. Say less.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Tyler Guyton. I think that's an easy, safe pick here. You know, at the end of the day, like, this offensive line, you need to be able to keep Rock healthy and – you know, they also rely on the run game a lot, and I feel like Guyton's the type of guy who can do it both. You know, good running blocker and good pass blocker, huge body. So, yeah, I think that's a safe pick.
Yeah, big old boy from Oklahoma, the tackle spot, something they're familiar with over in San Francisco. Strong pick. All right, T-Doc, close us out with the Chiefs.
I think this works out really, really well for the Panthers at the top of the second round here because Kool-Aid McKinstry is a first-round draft pick. And he just didn't get drafted in the first round in our mock. So good for the Panthers. I'm just throwing that out there because I will not be selecting him with a 32nd overall pick.
Almost did again.
What I am going to do is I'm gonna just ensure that the Chiefs go back to back. Sorry, Patrick. No. I'm gonna take Keon Coleman from Florida State.
Oh,
you're gonna have him on the opposite side of Rashee Rice. You're gonna have Keon Coleman and Travis Kelce. And that offense is going to be severely upgraded with a guy who a lot of people think could be the fourth. Some people think the third best receiver in this class.
Wow. Just had to do it.
A lot of receivers.
Had to do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ton of receivers.
You feel good about yourself, Toss?
Look, I'm not a Chiefs fan. I feel good. As the Chiefs GM, I feel great about that pick.
I like that pick. I do like that pick. I mean, I'm mocking receiver to Kansas City every chance I get. I think there's maybe one time where I'm not, but in that scenario, Chris Jones is not on the team anymore. So yeah, receiver makes a ton of sense. I think if Keon falls that far, it's going to be, I definitely could see him falling that far, but like that would be a home run hit. Troy Franklin, honestly, would be a home run hit there. And even,
I think a lot of people probably would have picked McConkey straight up there over Keon Coleman.
I was about to say, don't be surprised if McConkey goes 32nd, because that seems like a Chiefs guy to me. So
yeah. Completely agree. X-Man too, deep ball. I've had like a weird inkling of Worthy to the Browns. I don't know why. Just like a good deep ball guy across from Cooper. Seven receivers in our mock draft in the first round, 8 offensive linemen, 5 quarterbacks, 1 tight end.
No Michael Penix.
I don't think he goes first. I honestly don't. I think the medicals are going to scare the crap out of teams. I think it's going to be, I think he's talented, but man, that national championship game kind of.
He's a lot smaller than we expected. We saw him down at Radio Row and was shocked how much smaller than he really was.
Yeah. One of our 4 straight season ending injuries.
Yikes. Jesus. We had a buddy say that A.D. Mitchell not catching the touchdown at the end of the Texas game cost Michael Penix Jr. from being a first round pick. Cause had Michael Penix Jr. had the great game against Texas, but lost the last second and Texas goes to the national championship and he leaves on that note, he's got a better shot at being a first round pick than he does now after playing in the national championship game.
I would agree with that. I don't think that's the same at all.
Yeah. All right. Let's close this out, man. Give us your 2 hot takes for the NFL offseason.
Okay. So here are my 2 hot takes, and both of them are going to be AFC West related. All right. I think we can all agree Russell Wilson is not going to be a Denver Bronco next year. Writing's on the wall. Thanks. See you later. His house is already gone. Okay. Russell Wilson is going to be the starting quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers week 1. That's my first hot take. And then my second one, I think the Chargers might have the sneakiest good offseason despite all of their cap issues and stuff. I think they're going to have a really good offseason and they might make the divisional championship. That's my hot take. That's my take.
Dude, I'm just saying
say that. It really is, but man, like Harbaugh has been so good everywhere that he's gone. Seeing what he did in San Francisco, seeing how he was able to turn Michigan around. I have no doubt in my mind, like this was a team that had talent, they had pieces, but they had a really, really bad coach. Harbaugh is like the perfect home run coach for them. I think Herbert's going to have an amazing year. And depending on certain moves that they make during this offseason, I think Bosa is the guy that's gone, not Khalil Mack.
Yeah.
That's just me personally. But I think that they are going to have one of the better off seasons. I think they're going to add a lot of great pieces and they're going to be a real, real threat this next season. It's honestly scaring the crap out of me thinking about it.
Yeah. A lot of questions what they end up doing. Cause I think Mac's been a guy circulating right now. Just kind of in the news with being traded. Cause he's due over $50 million this year, which is absurd. But I mean, had 17 sacks this season. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, it's like he's the type of guy that's worth it. But moving that money off the books would be huge. Bosa's, I'd honestly rather move off of Bosa as well.
Right.
He's a guy who can't stay on the field, very similar to Mike Williams. At the end of the day, when he's on, he's good. But, you know, we just can't have that uncertainty. Your best ability is availability, and you need a guy out there that's ready to grind every game. So, I like that a lot. And then they got some good some good faith that it's already happened. Corey Lindsey, you know, cut down his contract, saving them $10 million. So that's another one right there that helps him a lot. You know, people are saying he might retire. So I think whatever they can do to move money around to help give themselves the best edge possible, they'll figure it out. At the end of the day, you got to keep Herbert happy, and you got to come off firing with a brand new staff and a brand new head coach.
Saquon to LA is at the top of my like wish list.
I'm hearing right Josh there. Jacobs might be a guy that they're more interested in, which honestly, in my opinion, like
it's going to be a battle between them and Denver for Josh Jacobs.
I'm certain, but at the end of the day, like we've also talked about this so many times that like shelling out money for a running back or going super hard in the draft for a running back, sometimes like it's just not it. Like it doesn't work out. Like you look at the guys who have won, you look at the teams that have won the Super Bowl, like they don't have, I think we looked at it. There was not a team that's won the Super Bowl that has a running back that's making over like $2 million a year.
Right. I agree with that, but you also had a team in the Super Bowl that was, their offense was defined by how well they ran the football too, right? With the 49ers. And no, they didn't win, but
teams ran the ball really well.
Certainly. And I think for the Chargers, it's just about getting there, right? Like you just want to, you want to get to the divisional round. That's a success year one, right? Yep. You get there. Okay. Maybe now next year we need to get further than that. But I like if Jacobs is cheaper, right? Man. And you still think he can be just as effective in that offense. Like, I don't see why he's maybe not even the better pick then between the two guys. I don't think he's as dynamic as Saquon Barkley just as a runner or as a pass catcher, but he is healthy. He's gotten a little bumped up and bruised, but not as severe injuries.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. So I'm with either of those guys in that Chargers offense. I think they'd both be great.
In our mock draft scenario, you get off of Mike Williams. You've got Quentin Johnson on the rookie deal. You cut Keenan Allen, probably bring him back because he's not going anywhere else. Like, let's be honest, he's going to stay a Charger. But his cap, I mean, the cap number's there. So release him, bring him back, and then you draft Malik Nabers, and then you sign like Josh Jacobs. That's a great offense. Like, that's a good
thing. I think it was Rome, like, but
I like them to bring back Gerald Everett too. I feel like he's a guy that doesn't have enough love. I mean, he fights really hard for extra yards. If not, like Jatavion Sanders, great option in the second or third round as a tight end.
There's going to be some good tight ends too. This is going to
be
in
a position.
Draft, I think
you could be. Yeah, you could be. Sanders is a beast. You could be in a position like the Jags drafted C.J. Henderson and turn around and trade him the next year. Like, I hate to say it, like they could. You're going to get pennies in the dollar, but they could turn around and get a third or fourth round pick for Quentin Johnston. Call it a day. Reuse that.
That might be like a sixth round pick, honestly.
Take Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah. And then he's disappointing. But I think that there's no better time for the Chargers on the topic of them for the salary cap to increase by $30 million. Like if there was ever a year for it to happen, like this is the year for them and Harbaugh to get in there. They will make the right moves offensively. You are automatically going to be in an infinitely better spot. You lose Kellen Moore, you get Herbert back healthy, and you get Jim Harbaugh. Like those upgrades you're good for it. That's good for three wins right there, to be honest, if everyone's fully cooking. All right, really good stuff. Patrick, thank you so much for joining us. Quickly tell them where to find you before we let you rock and roll.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Patrick Chiotti, C-H-I-O-T-T-I. Make sure that you guys subscribe to the show Let's Ride with Chris Harris Jr., name soon to be changed probably, who knows? But be on the lookout for that. Chris and I are we've got a whole off-season plan going, so it's going to be great. We're going to be turning out content over on Twitter and on YouTube. It's going to be awesome.
Love it, man. Absolute pleasure. We'll be sure to hit you up during the draft and throughout the draft process just to talk, and you know, God willing, maybe our mock draft is the one in a million that gets it right. That if it happens, you could tell your wife that you're going to Vegas with the boys and she could ask questions. She could ask questions later.
I'm heading out. It's done.
Thank you, Patrick.
We did it.
Thank you for joining us, man. Everyone out there, drag both feet inbound. So go to full count, rip that puck, hit that putt, hit your PKs because they're free, hit your free throws because they're free. We out you. We love you.
And now, this is the moment you've all been waiting for. We are live on the Charity Stripe Podcast with your hosts, Alex, Josh, and Nick.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.